Hi, I'm Vanessa Bayer, and this is my brother, Jonah.
We're two siblings who love to talk about our childhood and nostalgia and how it shaped us into the people we are today.
Who are extremely swank, if I do say so myself.
Welcome to How Did We Get Weird? So, Vanessa, do you remember we used to go out with our parents to dinner at Who Knows in Cleveland? They had the best video games there.
Yeah, honestly, I was more interested in the pizza, Jonah.
Yeah, that was the only place in our town that had the Mortal Kombat game. So I remember going there, wanting to get a bunch of quarters and just play Mortal Kombat the whole time. I don't remember anything I ate there.
Yeah, I remember the pizza and not the video game. So that just kind of shows you how our personalities are kind of different.
Yeah, well, that's definitely true. And then speaking of pizza, I was also thinking about this week at our high school. Do you remember when they started selling Domino's in our high school food court?
Yes, they sold it in the cafeteria at Brady Middle School. And like everyone would flip out when they sold it.
Yeah, it was like such a big deal. I had like kind of a little controversy about it because I thought it was super overpriced. Right. It was $1.50 a slice.
Yeah.
And I remember like going to some sort of administrator and being like, this is too expensive. And I was probably like 14. It's not like I had a job. Like I was probably just like, and I remember them saying like, Jonah, if you think the Domino's is too expensive, you don't have to buy it. Right. I remember thinking it was like this huge like travesty and I wanted to really organize against it. And I remember thinking of like, it was like a huge injustice. It was $1.50 yes. for a slice of pizza, which is so cheap.
It does feel like their profit margin on that is huge. Because if you think about how much those pizzas cost at the time, what were they, like $9? And let's say in a large pizza, there's, I don't know, 10 slices. They're making a $6 on each pizza. I guess that's not that much.
Well, it seems kind of weird. Like, because they didn't have like a... Like, they must have just ordered a bunch of pizzas every day.
Yeah, yeah.
And had them like, we're going to deliver...
No. It was one day a week, Jonah.
Oh, okay.
So it was like a huge deal when they had it.
Right.
And also like it was such a big deal in a way that you were like, you could all just go home and order like a whole pizza for yourself. But you get this one little piece of pizza that's been sitting around the cafeteria and you're going to lose your minds. Like what kind of consumers are you?
Yeah. Well, it seems kind of like, I guess what I'm getting at is it's kind of weird. Like if they had like a Domino's in the school where they're making it, that's one thing. But to just order it. And then like double the price and resell like a pizza to kids.
This is, I mean, we need to call the New York Times. I
apparently still like haven't gotten over this.
Well, one other thing that was like that, not to dwell on this, but remember when they started selling Snapple at school? And like, I remember kids going insane over that you could buy a Snapple in middle school. It was just like the same thing where it was like, I think it was like $2. It was like expensive for a Snapple. And it's the same thing of like, put a Snapple in your lunch. Bring it to school. Right. Guess how much that's free 99.
Right. It's true. Yeah. I remember we had that fridge in the garage stocked with Snapple. I would drink those peach and raspberry Snapples like they were water. Oh man. Those things are you know, when you're a hot day, I go for a run or something. I'd drink like 3 peach Snapples, get those electrolyte, like drink like 9,000 grams of sugar.
Really go for a run and then have a Snapple iced tea. This is such a sophisticated kid.
I just want to say I've had 2 peach Snapples today.
Really?
Yes, that's not a lie.
This is our guest.
Well, is a great segue for today's guest. Vanessa, why don't you go ahead and do the honors?
Okay, well, today's guest is most importantly my friend, okay?
Aww. In addition to being a Snapple enthusiast.
And the Snapple enthusiast. He is an actor, he's a writer, he's a comedian, a creator. You might know him from his 9 seasons on SNL or any number of other fantastic projects he's created or been a part of, including his role as Jaden on NBC's Mr. Mayor, or his show Lofi, which he created, executive produced, directs, and writes NBD. But most importantly, you may know him as the most successful Uno's bartender of all time. Welcome, Bobby Moynihan.
That's not true. Michelle Obama worked at my Uno's as a bartender.
I don't know that I would say it's clear which one of you, like, that's crazy, but also you're both equally successful.
Yeah. I love that you believed for a second that Michelle Obama worked at a pizzeria Uno as a bartender, but thank you.
I was so like defensive of you of being like, don't you dare put my, don't say that about my friend.
No, I still hold the title.
I really fully believed you and was like, so of course.
It's my favorite thing to do to you is just flat out lie to you.
Very gullible.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Jonah.
You did my other podcast many years ago, yeah. My little podcast, and we talked about you working at Uno's for like 40 minutes, and then you were like, I always end up talking about this on podcasts. I don't know why. So then we're having you on, and I was like, oh, we should just talk about Uno's.
It's completely true. That is completely true. I don't hate talking about it. It was pretty insane. It was a pretty insane time.
So yeah, we won't make you talk about it that much, but a question that I had in general, I don't know if you know the answer to this or not. I assume you do, even though I know you're a bartender less involved with the pizza pies.
No, I was a lot more involved with the pies than you think.
Okay.
I did a lot of late night cooking there when I wasn't supposed
to.
Yeah.
Well, my question is, you know, when I lived in Chicago, Uno's was one of the like hottest deep dish pizza spots.
Yes.
However, when we were in Cleveland, and I was pretty young when we went there, there was one in Cleveland, I don't remember them really having deep dish pizza. Like, I remember it more being a spot to get regular pizza.
I don't remember when, but somewhere in their lifespan, they changed from Pizzeria Uno to Uno's Chicago Bar and Grill.
Oh.
Because they stopped just doing, like, it was like, why are we only doing deep dish pizza when we can do like rattlesnake pasta? And like, which was just pasta with jalapenos in it.
I was going to ask you what it was. That's
yeah. A lot of people would get mad and return it because it was just fettuccine Alfredo with chicken and jalapenos, and they called it rattlesnake pasta, and people would always return it and be like, excuse me, I'd like to talk to the manager. This is chicken. This is not rattlesnake. And I was like, yeah, no, it's not like rattlesnake meat. It's chicken. And we're not trying to, it says it in the menu, we're not trying to trick anybody. but people always assumed it was rattlesnake meat.
Wow.
Yeah. Interesting. A lot of dummies at Pizzeria Uno.
What were some of your kind of like late night Uno's creations kind of when you had the kitchen to yourself there?
I remember a pretty terrible night of filling a deep dish pizza with clam chowder, just trying that out just to see what would happen, and trying to bake it with cheese. It was awful. I thought it would be like a clams casino, but it was more of just, it was more like an Ugg boot full of clams chowder. Yeah, I would just try anything. It would go over the salad bar, take your pick, and go back over to the pizza oven and go to town.
Did yours have a lot of video games too? Did you get into those?
No, we had no video games. We had two like of those like gambling / like hunt and find games at the bar, like on the bar top. Like,
right, right.
Like, oh, there's two pictures of two naked ladies, but one of them has a ponytail and one of them has two ponytails. Like, it was
right.
Like,
can
that
you kind figure of, out yeah. the difference? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, like stand up, like video games, like Mortal Kombat or anything.
Yeah, you didn't have Mortal Kombat.
No, like, do you remember like when Mortal Kombat
reigned supreme?
Yeah, I remember when it came out and it was like so violent, like those finishing moves. Everyone was like, oh my God, this is like so crazy.
Yeah, like it was like, they're real people. It's real people on the screen. Yeah. Yeah, I do. I do. I wasn't ever like a video game guy. I never like I would get like ones that I liked and kind of play them for a day or like the weekend and then stop. I was never like a huge video game guy.
What was your thing? Were you into like comics or cartoons or what was sort of your
cartoons? Lots of action figures, comics in the sense of like I would buy a comic and draw it and then like put it down. I wasn't like super into reading them. It was more about like drawing.
That's so cute to envision little Bobby like
oh, with a sitting in my room listening to like Fresh Prince of Bel, like, you know, DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince and drawing. Yeah, that was a lot of my time.
That's really adorable.
Yeah. One of my favorite things I've ever seen is your drawings of Chris Farley. You're like that you had in your dressing room at SNL. Was like from your childhood. It was my favorite. I have hundreds of sketchbooks of like a picture of Bill Murray, like, you know, like things like that. I'm sure I drew Lauren at some point.
I drew Chris Farley. Jonah and I had the same art assignment in high school. It looks like I drew that when I was in like fifth grade, but I drew it in high school. I have this like montage of different Chris Farley like scenes that I drew. And Jonah did one of like, we just found it in our basement. Yours is of like punk, yours is of like Tim Armstrong and
stuff.
Yeah,
it was Tim from Rancid. It was from like all these bands on Epitaph Records in the 90s, like the big kind of California punk label.
Yeah, kids love it.
Kids love it. There's another art project we did that our parents have put up in their place, which is like we had to draw a really colorful picture of like a celebrity based on like a photo of them. And mine is Madonna and Jonah's is Shaquille O'Neal. And the fantastic Shaquille O'Neal is way more prominently displayed. Like the Shaquille O'Neal you see like as soon as you go into my parents' house, whereas like the Madonna, you have to go into the guest bathroom.
Well, yeah, in fairness, our parents have some like really tasteful art, and then they have like clearly art that was created by us, and you can really tell what's what.
That's fantastic. I really need a picture of both of those paintings. I definitely have a I took AP art my senior year, and my senior thesis was black and white paintings of famous people. So I definitely have a black and white painting of Eddie Vedder that I did that I've kept.
I really want to see it whenever you have a chance.
It's a treat. It's really a treat.
The thing is, everybody like you that you draw when you're in high school like that, all of those drawings, like the nose is off or something. There's always like some huge feature that's like too big or small or like it's they're
like
always
long
like
fingers.
Yeah. Fingers are hard. So are noses. Oh my gosh. Noses are impossible.
Yeah.
I always have a problem with necks because I don't have one. So I never know how to give somebody one.
That's very funny.
Vanessa and I had like a commercial art school like in our basement, which is kind of strange. I never really thought about this before, but we had kids from all the other surrounding schools would come to our school, and in the basement we had a studio with like the best artists, and they would all, and a lot of them were like punk kids and stuff, so I was kind of friendly with them. But they would all come to our school, and it was like a separate, and they would just do art all day. Vanessa, do you remember that?
I do. I remember because all the art classes were in the basement. And so I remember like all those kids kind of walking by and that you were kind of friends with all of them, which Jonah was friends with everybody.
Yeah, I was kind of like that as well.
I could see that. Such a friendly guy. Both of you, very fun to be around. Magnetic personalities, if I might may.
Way to go, Jonah. Thanks, Vanessa.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. Thanks, Vanessa. That's really nice.
Maybe we should do a podcast.
Okay. Yeah, maybe you're right. We'll talk after this.
It's called Magnetic Personality.
We can do an after show about this show.
Yeah, that would be great. Did you have like a specific kind of like friend group? Like, or you were kind of all over.
I would say possibly the most specific friend group.
Can I guess?
I don't know what that means. Yes, now I want you to guess because I built it up so high.
Was it like you all? You said you weren't that into like gaming, so I was gonna ask if you all play, but like, were you all into like Settlers of Catan or something?
No, I weirdly like I know guys who love that, but I never. I missed that. I missed Dungeons and Dragons and board gaming. I don't like learning or rules. It was like action figure. Give me an action figure and a Rocky Hill.
So the action figures have a lot of like obstacles that they can.
Yeah. And like, and if you had some string, I'm good till 5 p.m. Like that, it was just like that was a spool of string and some action figures was just that was it. Yeah, just climbing. And I was like, when I was real young, that was just, yeah, that was it. G.I. Joe's, stuff like that.
So now I got to hear what your specific friend group is because it feels like I was in the wrong.
Oh, no one. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. No, my like friends like in high school were like all my guys, like the guys we like hung out, it was super weird. It was like, they were all troublemakers. Like I didn't drink. I didn't do anything. I was the designated driver, like funny kid. But like they all worked on cars and like did stuff. But they all did like the tech for the theater, like the summer theater. And I was like in the plays. but they all did like the lights and the spotlight, and like they were all the tech guys. And then like we all were lifeguards together during the summer. Like, and we did like, so like we would lifeguard all day and then go to like do King and I at night. Like, it was ridiculous.
That's so cute. Did they ever pull pranks on you when you were on stage? Like,
Yeah.
They did?
Oh, 100%. We used to, if they had a prop or something, we would just tape weird pictures to it. So like in the middle of the show, it'd just be like a picture of like a weird baby, like taped to something. Or like, there was one, we did Damn Yankees, and I was talking to the devil, and I was supposed to like open up a wallet and like show him a picture. And we were at a magic store, and I found a wallet that caught fire when you opened it. We were like, we should get that and do it during the show. And I'll surprise Chris, the kid who's playing the devil. And like, I opened it up and the wallet caught fire. And they were like, you can't. This is a high school production. You cannot set a fire on stage without telling it. I would mean well and then like get everything shut down like by accident or almost. Like, I did dumb shit like that.
That's very funny. That's very funny. Okay, we're going to go to a quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back with Bibi Moynihan.
That's me.
Okay, we are back. Now, Bobby, we asked you to come in with a topic of something nostalgic that you'd like to talk about. Mm-hmm. And you've given us, I guess, a piece of nostalgic gold to discuss.
Wow, I'm glad that you think that, because I would have thought it was in more of Jonah's wheelhouse than yours, but I'm glad you're excited about it.
Well, you would be surprised, because I was into, well, okay, just to say what we're talking about. Bobby wanted to talk about Saturday morning cartoons, and specifically the He-Man cartoons, which, just to give you a little backstory on how much this was a favorite in our household. Okay.
I can't wait.
Jonah used to wear the top of a popcorn. We had like a popcorn making machine, and there was like this kind of orangish plastic top to it. And Jonah used to wear it on his head and say that he was He-Man.
Okay? Amazing.
Yeah.
I think maybe we should try and find a photo. Now, I do know we have a photo of this. I was very into She-Ra,
very
who we
nice.
Now know is He-Man's sister.
We now know.
Well, I had to do some research. I always kind of thought they were a couple. Anyways, the point is, She-Ra, I would dress up as her. And what I would do is I would wear these like, and we have a photo of it. I would wear these big pieces of yarn around my head. So it was like I had long hair, which is actually something I did almost every day. And then I had this Bert and Ernie bathing suit that I would wear. And then I would wear these really high blue rain boots. And that was my She-Ra costume. And I do think I look, well, we can put it on our website or our social media. I do think I look surprisingly like She-Ra in this outfit.
I bet. I can't wait to see it.
So we were very into them.
I was, I made my poor mother, she did a fantastic job. I was Orko for Halloween. I demanded to be Orko for Halloween.
Now, I feel so bad asking this, but which Orko is...
The little wizard, the little like floating wizard man.
Right. A helpful person in this world.
I would say the Jar Jar Binks of the franchise, sort of there for the laughs and the kids.
Got it.
He was a little bumbling.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. Just to give you some backstory of where this all started. Saturday morning cartoon, FYI, is a colloquial term for the original animated series programming that was scheduled typically on Saturday mornings on the big three networks. It was very popular from the mid-60s through the mid-90s, which I didn't realize that they had started so early on as a thing. And it was approximately from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time is when they aired on Saturdays. And, you know, there were a lot of really popular ones. In the 80s, He-Man was obviously very popular. And something that we didn't realize, that you already knew this, was that He-Man and a lot of the shows that were very popular on Saturday morning cartoons were basically half-hour commercials for toys, that they were like basically made after these toys started being sold to make people want to buy the toys.
Yeah, I think it was like Kenner and Star Wars that started it, and then like G.I. Joe and those kind of things kind of picked it up again. And I believe the story is that whoever the company was that made He-Man, they just like sent a guy in a room for the weekend and they were like, just come up with a bunch of characters and stuff. And then like he came out on Monday and was like, He-Man, Skeletor, these guys. And like, they were like, all right. And they just made the toys and wrote the cartoon. And like the cartoon was there after, like, to sell the toys. Yeah.
This article I was reading, Wikipedia, said that along with the FCC's looser interpretation of programming regulations under Ronald Reagan, this led to the era of half-hour toy commercials that became synonymous with 1980s cartoons. The first were Masters of the Universe and G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero in 1983, followed by Transformers, Visionaries, Mask, Gem and the Holograms, Thundercats, Silverhawks, Visionaries, Knights of the Magical Light, My Little Pony, and others. I mean, the fact that Gem and My Little Pony were part of that.
Oh, yeah. Gem was made to steal Barbie's marketplace, like, to take some of Barbie's money.
You know, what's so funny about that, that completely makes sense. I mean, look, you couldn't use them together. You had to get more gems because Gem, I don't know if you guys realize this because I don't know if you had these toys like I did. Gem was like a giant compared to Barbie. Like if you tried to play with them together, forget about it.
That was the thing, the reason for He-Man. It was like G.I. Joes were 3.25 inch, you know, and like the whole thing was He-Man was this 6 inch figure that was like, what? This thing is huge. Like people couldn't believe it.
That's so funny. It is so crazy in your child brain that you're like, how are these different? Like you just have to like reconcile in your mind. Like, I guess Gem is twice as tall as Barbie and that's going to have to be okay.
Scale was a problem. It was like, can't have one G.I. Joe fight a He-Man. They would kill him. Yeah. You'd kill him. He-Man would kill him.
Yeah. It's not a fair fight.
Yeah, what's so interesting about Gem, too, is like her rival band was the Misfits, who were like an actual, like Glenn Danzig's like very legendary punk band at the same time. I mean, Gem was like 85. I think the Misfits were before that even.
Yeah, how were they allowed to do that? How was that?
I think there was like copyright stuff was so much looser back then, I imagine.
There was no internet, so it didn't take longer.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Bobby, what was it sort of about He-Man maybe specifically that kind of attracted you?
I like all those like Filmation cartoons, like He-Man, Thundercats, Silverhawks, those like basic, super bright colors and then just like painted matte backgrounds of weird alien landscapes and just like the same thing over and over again because they would just use the same one. I don't know. It was just comforting. I think it was like coming home from school and watching that or something. I was very much so a latchkey kid. So like that was babysitter, was like watch He-Man, go play with some toys and then wait for, you know, parents to come home from work.
Yeah.
I watched the He-Man and then the She-Ra theme songs yesterday. And it's like, it's so interesting because like they're so interchangeable. They didn't even really try to change it up. Like,
no, not at all. As a matter of fact, they were probably like, keep it as close as it was just, I mean, it was just He-Man with longer hair and boobs. Like, I think it was just, that's all it was. The new ones are very different now. Like, She-Ra's like back and like amazing and like super wonderful.
Yeah, we noticed there's, they're rebooting. So He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, to give it its official title, was on from September 1983 until 1985.
Wow.
And then they ran the reruns for a long time. And then those were in syndication. And then USA aired He-Man until September 1990. So it was really only two years of like new ones coming out.
I remember getting like, we had a VCR. We got a VCR for Christmas. And one of the tapes I got was He-Man. And I remember like,
and the Masters of the Universe.
Every day, that was what I watched. Every single day was that hour-long tape of just two episodes of He-Man over and over and over and over and over again.
That's so cute.
Yeah, that was it.
The VHS tape that I always watched when we were kids, but I would always rent it from the library, was this VHS tape of Paula Abdul making her Forever Your Girl album. And at one point, her dancers are picking her up and throwing her in the air. And it's an aerial view of it. And I was like, okay, I have to watch this every day. Okay, anyway, getting back to He-Man. There's two continuation series that are now being developed for Netflix. One is like a family-friendly one. And the other one is for adults. which I think I made some kind of joke to Jonah about this yesterday, where I said, seems like those adults probably also like to spend a lot of time alone.
You found a convention, isn't that true?
Oh my God. Yeah. Bobby, do you know about this? It is called,
I do.
Oh my gosh. I think this is actually who I made the joke about. It wasn't about people watching the Netflix show. It was about people attending PowerCon.
Yeah.
Which PowerCon, for those who don't know, is kind of like Comic-Con.
It's like Bobby Moynihan's Comic-Con that he wrote. No, just kidding.
Have you been invited to speak at PowerCon?
No, I have never been invited to speak. I've been asked to leave. No, I actually wanted to go just because that is very much my jam. Is like, I feel much more comfortable walking around amongst the PowerCon people than anything else. Like, I went like, yeah, I get this. I get being obsessed over insanity. I just find it fascinating. But I have never gone. But I've been to like Star Wars Celebration, which is like essentially the same thing, but Star Wars is much more vast. PowerCon, I think, is very niche.
Well, right, because it's so limited to these two cartoons, two characters. Look. By the way, I don't mean to like put these people down. I'm into.
I get it.
I'm one of them. No.
I loved General Hospital.
I mean,
my grandma loved it. I watched it all the time. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, I still watch it, and it's basically. It's like if the old He-Man was... The point I was trying to make in a not good joke is that it's nothing about it has changed to the point where it's really refreshing to watch.
Because they have to have some sort of General Hospital convention. They have to.
Oh, there is. There are. There's conventions, and there's also like, you know, when I was living in Chicago and I used to perform at this comedy club, Zanies, like they would have... They would also have like stars of General Hospital come do shows that I don't know that they were comedy shows. I think they would just like talk about
reminisce and
being on General Hospital.
Why am I having some weird memory of you and Janine Garofalo and something?
Okay,
with
this is because this is actually very this band? Is very relevant. Jonah on Jonah's old podcast, Janine Garofalo was a guest. And I co-hosted when she was a guest because I was such a big fan of hers. And while we were doing the podcast, we realized that we were both General Hospital fans.
That's
from
right.
Like growing up.
I listened
so
to
Janine
this.
Garofalo and I went and saw a concert of four of the men who are in General Hospital, basically doing live band karaoke. And it was like us plus like a bunch of horny married women just going nuts. and that's why you remember that.
Yeah. I love that idea. That makes me very happy.
It was an incredible concert.
Yes. I assume PowerCon is equally as fantastic.
PowerCon I would think is like that a version of that concert.
Yeah, the husbands of those ladies.
Exactly. And it's funny because Jonah and I were on their website and they're being very, so it's scheduled to start September 11th.
PowerCon. Oh boy.
And they're being very cagey about like your health comes first. So like we want to make sure with COVID, like it's possible to do this. Now I'm realizing this episode will not air until after September 11th. So hopefully by that time we will know whether PowerCon happened or not. But they were very much like even on the website, it was like special guests and none have been announced yet.
Oh yeah. He-Man.
But,
and that's a question mark.
Have you ever been a part of any of those kind of Marvel or DC movies? Because you've done so much stuff, it's hard to keep track of.
It's true.
Not yet. I hope so. I hope to be that. I love that. I love any kind of. I think SNL did it to me. To be honest, well, that's not true. I got the job that was perfect for me, which was like, hey, you want to write a sketch where we all dress up as He-Man this week? Or you want to write a sketch where, like, me and Vanessa would do it all the time, where it was like, we like Game of Thrones, so we wrote Game of Thrones. Like, it was
yeah,
just like.
Yeah, we did a Game of Thrones. We played
Sam and Gilly.
I played Sam and Gilly on Weekend Update, which, Joan, I don't think you've seen Game of Thrones, but they're very niche characters.
Very much so. It was like this, overweight, shy kid and her and his, and like his put upon, like beaten, abused girlfriend who, and like, it was just, they were these sad characters, but they somehow became like a beloved couple and we thought they were hilarious and just played them on Update.
It was so fun. And it's also this thing of like, Jonah has seen this, like in the British, like there's always a character that I identify with in like any series. And in Game of Thrones, it was definitely Gilly. And in Jonah, you called this up, but in the British Office, I don't know if you remember this, but when they have the Halloween episode, the woman who dresses up as, I think she dresses up as Wonder Woman. It's like a very niche character who I don't think has any lines in either season of the British Office, but I'm like, that's me. It's always someone who has like kind of like a real toothy smile and is sort of like awkward in a weird and real like soft spoken.
I would be the guy eating the scotch egg, Keith.
Keith.
I would be Keith.
He's so great.
Yeah.
He's so
and Bobby,
great.
You also did a Star Wars sketch at one point, isn't that? True, I vaguely remember this.
A couple. Was like a year there where Lauren was like, let the nerds have fun for a little while.
And the other thing, Bobby, is that there's something so sort of like nostalgic about that stuff. And so like you to me are a person who really loves like collecting stuff and like having like, you're so good about like getting people to sign things and like just you're I feel like you're very like, you realize when something cool is happening and you want to like make the most of it. And I don't want to call this person out, but I do believe you had like a jersey or something that you would have everybody sign. Like Bobby had like all the cast sign it. And then anytime a guest would be on SNL, they would sign it. And somebody signed it. I can't remember who it was. You don't have to say, but it was someone who shouldn't have signed it.
There's two different stories. I'll tell you. Okay. I'll tell. But my mom got me a SNL jersey. It was like Dan Aykroyd had a company called Roots that made clothes. And like they made these like thick raglan like canvas. Yes. Like baseball jerseys, like old timey baseball jerseys. And my mom got me one for Christmas before I was on SNL and was like, when you get on SNL, everybody sign it. And I was like, it was like, just like this thing. Like she did that. And like, when I got SNL, I did that. And like, I was funny. I was talking to my wife about this last night. I was like, I carried that thing around for 9 fucking years in my bag, like rolled up in like a ball in my bag. I got everybody, like almost every, it's got hundreds and hundreds of signatures on it. But originally, I just wanted SNL cast members.
Right. That's what, yeah.
And so I had all the cast sign it. I had you guys sign it. And then Betty White was hosting. And I put it on like the page desk because like Amy, Tina, Rachel, Maya, Anna Gasteyer, there was like all these other SNL cast members. And I was like, oh, I got to get them to sign it. And they all signed it. And Betty White just walked over and went, oh, thanks. And just signed the center of it. And it's just like Betty White, dead center, very clearly. And I was like livid. I was like livid because like in my mind, it was going to be all SNL people. But then I just started letting everybody sign it. And like, it actually helped very much so. I always toy, and I'm not kidding, I always toy with the idea of writing a book, just like my time at SNL, a book of completely made up stories of my time at SNL and just lying about everything. Just completely writing a brand new history of my time there.
I would read it.
That's just a pitch if anyone's out there.
Yeah, we have a huge publisher.
Most publishers listen to this.
The publishing community is really into this podcast.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, we're going to throw to a commercial and we'll be right back.
This is The First Tot, and you're listening to How Did We Get Weird, hosted by my kids, Jonah and Vanessa Bayer. They'll be back after a quick commercial break.
Okay, we are back. All right. Now, Bobby, we would like to play a game.
What?
What do you want? What do you want?
We would like to play a game with you right now that we like to call Back to the Present.
Joan and Vanessa, we've got to go back to the present.
Okay, that's different than Back to the Future.
That's exactly right, because it's a hilarious take in the nostalgic Back to the Future film franchise. The title is, not the game, but kind of it is. Okay, so in this segment, we each get to say something from our childhood that we wish would come back. And just to give you some time to think about it, because I know this is like a big ask. And remember, there's no wrong answer. It can be one of many things. You know what I mean? Like, don't put too much pressure on yourself. But we will start. Okay. And it can be a snack, a game, a TV show, you know, any number of things.
My parents.
Or like Ecto Cooler.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Either one.
Either. Sure. Either.
Yeah, one or the other.
Exactly. Now, Jonah, what would be your pick for Back to the Present?
My pick for Back to the Present would be, Bobby, I don't know if you remember these, So Delicious. They were soda-flavored fruit snacks.
What?
They were discontinued. Yes. They were discontinued in the 90s.
Oh, wait.
Do you remember these?
Keep going. Wax?
They were like, they had a fruit flavor, and then they teamed up actually with 7-Up, and they had like, they had the 7-Up spot on the box.
Okay.
And they had like cherry cola, and I'm not the only one missing them. I found a petition on change.org for Betty Crocker and General Mills to bring them back. You know, if you're on change.org, I think maybe you should look at some other petitions first. I don't think that's like exactly maybe the right venue to bring back a 90s fruit snack. But yeah, I did. They came in popular flavors like cherry cola root beer. They came with these stickers and they were covered in sugar. And I found this video. I'm like, General Mills has their own like YouTube channel where they make videos about discontinued products. And yeah, so they definitely existed. And I'm curious if you remember the. I thought they were like the best fruit snacks. Now I would think they're so sugary and maybe disgusting. But do you remember those?
I do. At first, I thought you meant they used to have those like wax Coke bottles that you would like bite the tip off. And like there was just like hot syrup inside. Like it was just like. That's what I thought you meant at first. But now I remember what you were talking about. Yes, those were delicious.
Yeah.
I remember the sugar covering great
deal. Sugar covering. Yeah. I mean, I feel like that era was like the golden age of fruit snacks. I mean, I was just so into all of them.
Yeah.
And fruit roll-ups.
Fruit roll-ups changed the game.
Yeah.
Also, So Delicious is such a good name for a snack.
It is. It's a marketing. It's all the name, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also think it's funny that like people are petitioning to bring it back because I feel like, you know, it's been 20 years. It's probably not coming back, but also everything seems like it's coming back. So maybe they will. But I feel like soda has been so kind of vilified and replaced by seltzer that I feel like maybe there'll be a seltzer flavored fruit snack.
I hate the concept of things not continuing or things stopping because there's only a certain amount of people that like them, because those people love it enough for everyone else. And it drives me nuts when that happens.
Well, R.I.P. So Delicious.
R.I.P. We'll So Delicious for
they
now.
They should at least put the recipe out there for super fans.
Yeah, General Mills, we know you love this podcast as well. So.
Throw it up on your YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Yeah, them and the publishing.
Yeah, and the publishers. Got kind of an eclectic crowd here.
Vanessa, what's your pick for Back to the Present?
My pick for Back to the Present is unsurprisingly also a snack, Jonah and Bobby. Mine is a little known Keebler cookie called Sweet Spots.
Oh.
Now, okay, different than what you thought I was
going
to say. Now,
I thought you were going Fudge Stripes.
No, well, you know, delicious. I obviously love those too. Yeah. Sweet Spots are so hard to find online. It's like someone's trying to erase them from having existed.
I'm not positive I know what they are.
I wasn't either.
I will explain it to you guys. Now, I don't know if you had them, but I remember for a very distinct period of time, our mom would buy them and put them in our lunches. And basically what they were they came in little packs of four, and they were these little shortbread cookies with basically a Hershey's Kiss in the middle. So they were, and so you got four of them. Do you remember these?
Got it. Now I know exactly what you're talking about, but I forgot. And they were in like a little white cardboard tray.
Yes, they were in like a little white sleeve, little white cardboard sleeve. Now, if you try and find them, even if you Google them by name, which I had to go to our Reddit page to find the name.
I was going
to
say, they're very, very abundant in England, but they have a different name called Toffifee. You can get this. You can get them right now. Like, they have chocolate and they have caramel. They're called Toffifee.
I would like this production company of this podcast to send us to England to get them. And I want a first class ticket.
I think that's in the cards. I think that's in the cards.
Either the publishers or, you know, General Mills will pay for it. But they are so hard to find. It was so hard to find them online. I could only get the name from a Reddit page. And when you Google them, when you Google Keebler sweet spots, everyone tries to talk about Magic Middles, which were Magic Middles great? They're great. Those were the ones that had chocolate in them. Yeah. Okay. We get it. But at the same time, they weren't sweet spots. No.
No. Sweet spots were high class. Those other things were like chocolate mozzarella sticks.
Yeah. They were trash. They were trash. Now, okay. I don't know why they stopped making them, but I have an inkling of knowing why. There was an article published in the Utah Deseret Church News paper.
And it's what's funny. It's desert news, not dessert news.
Sorry, Jonah, I'll correct you. It was Deseret.
Deseret News, you're right.
So it this doesn't is from make 19, sense at all.
June 30th, 1992.
Okay, so the headline of the article is... Okay, this is real. Keebler Sweet Spots cookies, long on looks, but short on taste. Now, do they mean because they're in a long sleeve?
I think they meant like it's a hot looking cookie,
but they don't taste so great.
It just occurred to me that it might be because of the sleeve, but that's how I took it too, of like, these might look exactly.
That's what I mean. Like, they were like fancy. I feel like they were like, if now, like,
they,
you know,
looked
like
fancy.
Yeah, they were like, it was like the whole thing of it was like, that's a sleek cookie.
Well, the article starts, send those elves on a vacation. And then it wrote in all caps, another new cookie from Keebler. Sweet spots are billed as little shortbread cookies with a big drop on top. The little cup cookies come for a package, 18 packs in all. The 15-ounce box awaits you for $2.95, which they're complaining? $2.95 for
four
18
little
packs of four cookies? That's so good. That's what do you want to pay? A penny a cookie?
High quality, hot ass cookies.
No, I want to give you a couple highlights. These are true critics on this article. This guy, Don Russell, who I'm not sure, you know, what his exact story is, but he said, just to pick from many things, he said, sweet spots are fun and somewhat unique, but face an uphill battle to be on the grocery shelves in a couple of years. Okay, that wasn't a great quote that I picked. Neela Lake, who Neela Jonah
Lake
looked
said,
up.
Thank you for interviewing me for this.
Well, Neela Lake, Jonah looked up and look, she has passed. Jonah looked her up. But anyways, she said,
God rest her
the
soul.
The Keebler elf in charge of cookie design came up with a cute idea, but forgot to pass it along to the flavor department.
And she was murdered by the Keebler company.
And she also said, the cookie portion tasted like sawdust. The price was high for a fancy packaging and an overgrown chocolate chip. Now, Judy Slack Wilson.
Oh, shit. That's fighting words.
Judy Slack Wilson said, I loved the little individual packages. They're neat to throw in lunches. Okay.
Judy Slack Wilson is a Vanessa Bayer character.
I know. Okay. Rich Firmage said, we got a little bit ahead of the game on these cookies. We bought a box a couple of weeks ago before we got our sample. It's like, you don't have to tell us how the stuff is made, Rich. Okay, we like them. The kids...
Relax, the kids, Rich.
The kids ate the big chocolate chip off the top first thing. You know what? We don't... Are you going to review the cookie or are you going to give us every detail from your day? Okay, now the conclusion made by the the author of this article, whose name I don't have in front of me.
But he is dead. They're all dead.
Wrote, what a great idea. What a letdown. Both with exclamation points at the end. While there were a few kudos from our testers, remember kudos? it doesn't say that in here. I'm just saying that. Okay,
kudos. Sweet spots.
I know. Sweet spots were compared with sawdust in the taste department. Yeah, you're giving that woman some. Okay, but God rest her soul. The Deseret News testing panel independently tests products purchased by the Deseret News. Readers with suggestions for products to be tested should. Okay, so that's basically it. That was actually the whole article. But as you can see, some real controversial takes on sweet spots.
Yeah, they really took it down a spot, a sweet spot, if you will.
Wow. This is why he's the best in the biz. Now, Bobby, again, if you need some time to think.
No, I don't.
Okay. Okay. Great. We would like to know, what is your pick?
I would like some time to relax, though.
Take your time.
The second you said it, something popped into my head, and I'm going to stick with and go with that.
Okay.
Do you remember those like Flintstone push pops? They were like not ice cream. They were like sherbet or sherbet.
Yes. Yes.
Those fucking things. Sorry, can you curse? I keep cursing a lot.
Oh, of course. Sure. S-H-I-T. Shit.
Shit, Flintstones. Flintstone shit. Yeah. They, those things. Remember those?
Yeah. Those were delicious. I think they were push-ups.
Push-ups. Push-ups or push-pops. Push-a-push-pop. Push it for flavor. Push-a-push-pop. Save some for later. That was the song.
Was that the song?
No, I just made that up. No, I think it actually was the song. Yeah. It was the song.
Those were so good. I mean, I love push-ups in general, but yeah, I love those. And also the delicious Flintstones vitamins. Who could forget those?
Yeah, I would eat those like they were candy and you were not supposed to.
Same. And I still do stuff like that a lot. Like I, if anything is a gummy, if it's like a sleep, like if it's like a melatonin thing, I just like put myself right to sleep because I'm like, candy, I'm going to have to eat all of it.
Yeah, I can't be trusted with fiber gummies anymore.
Oh, man, I get it.
Yeah, you'll kill yourself by accident with those things.
Sure. Or you'll kill your toilet. Okay. But those push pops, I remember they were orange. They were like orange sherbet. They had like a little like metal, right? Didn't they have like a little, almost like, not metal, but like a little
foil disc
kind top, of a top.
Yeah. Like, or like a wrapper and then you pushed it up from the bottom.
Those were so great.
Such a treat. Such a treat. The second you said, do you want to bring anything back? That popped. I haven't thought about those in years. That immediately popped into my head.
Those were so good.
Yeah. They were delicious. I'm sure you can't find them anywhere because they were like branded.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we're being sent an article from our producer, Olivia, that it looks like Nestle is making push pops, but without the Flintstones branding. So you can still...
How dare they?
And they're called push-up. They're because that's the difference, I think, is that those are... The general name for those are push pops. And that push-ups was like the one... What the Flintstone ones were called.
Yeah, it was like... I think they were slightly smaller. They were like for like... I go like... For like kids. On the go. Like I think like... Yeah, it was like a... It was like... Push pops was like an adult size one, and like push ups was maybe a smaller version. I don't know.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Well, we can find out if we all go to push up con this year.
I have tickets. It was $7,000 a ticket for push up con. They said Fred was going to be there. They said Mr. Flintstone would be there.
What's funny is I'm looking at an old package of the Flintstones push ups, and they say fortified with vitamin C. It's like trying to make it seem healthy.
They dip them in orange juice. Yeah.
By the way, I've been corrected by our producer, Hans. Push pops were the lollipops and push ups are ice cream.
Prove it, Hans. Prove
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Hans. Hey, Hans.
No, I'm just kidding.
Proof is in the push
the pops. Pudding. Yeah, the pudding pop.
Pudding pop. It is funny. I think like, you don't often see, especially with them. Although maybe I'm wrong because I don't have kids, so I'm not paying as close attention. So Bobby, you can tell us if this is true or not. It doesn't seem like there's as much integration between cartoons and
completely false
ice cream products. No,
No, I think that's false. I think everything has it now.
I guess me saying that food isn't branded these days is kind of similar to me being like,
rock and roll is gonna die someday.
Yeah,
totally.
Just like that.
That's probably, and by that I mean it's not right.
Yeah.
Well, I think that push ups is a great back to the present idea pick. And
thanks.
And I wish that they would bring all three of the snacks that we've mentioned.
Me too.
Yeah, and maybe they will after this podcast comes out.
The ball's in your court, old candies and fruits and vegetables.
Exactly.
Well, that was very fun, you guys. Bobby, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I feel like the thing we talked about least was He-Man.
I know. No, I'm just kidding. Well, you already knew so much about it.
I feel bad. I knew too much.
Well, no, not at all. I think. Look, at the end of the day, we're all going to PowerCon, and we'll all wear our little outfits.
We should go to PowerCon together. We have to get the same crew that went to the Insane Clown Posse show to go to PowerCon.
Oh my god,
that was another fascinating evening of a group of people who love something.
I just saw O'Brien two nights ago.
Amazing.
And I did not bring up the Insane Clown Posse concert that we went to, but
which is a missed opportunity.
I actually have seen Insane Clown Posse, not with you, but I saw them at a festival once, and it was probably similar. Everything was covered in plastic.
Mm-hmm.
Faygo everywhere.
Yeah. When we first walked in, there was a flight of stairs covered in garbage bags because they didn't want, it was like at the Bowery Ballroom. It was like somewhere famous. Like it was like a really nice place. And, two guys in full makeup who did not know each other. Like one guy was like four or five steps up the steps and the other guy was at the bottom and he fell and just took him out. Just like he fell, slid down the steps, took out another guy and he picked him up and he went, "You okay?" And the other guy went, "I'm fine." And like they were family and it was amazing.
And the thing is that they loved each other, but were also aggressive. And
very aggressive and very confused at our presence.
They throw Fanta? What is the thing that they throw
Faygo.
From this?
Faygo.
Faygo. So they were throwing that, and we were literally as far back as you could get, and it kept hitting me. And I was like, this is truly my nightmare. I can't hide from...
You got hit with two giant, liter bottles of Faygo. I remember that.
I got very hit. And then we went backstage after and met them, and they were so nice.
Yeah, because when you want to meet the Insane Clown Posse is after a show when they're taking off their makeup. And they're hot.
It was very weird.
Yeah, it was super very weird. They were weird. Wonderful, though.
They were very sweet. They're surprisingly sweet, those two. Three? Yeah. I don't know.
Shockingly sweet posse.
Yes. Well, Bobby, thank you so much. And thank you to everyone for listening. Now, Bobby, where can listeners find you if they go on into the old, any kind of place?
Turn on your computer and say, "Hey, Bobby," and I'll just be like, "What up, yo?" No, I think I'm on Twitter. I don't know, man. Look it up. It's out there. Baby Moynihan.
He's out there. Just look for a little sweet angel bopping around and you'll find him.
That's me.
Look, if you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe to it and look out for next week's episode where we'll discuss more stories from our childhood. Right, Jonah?
Yes, we will. More stories. Probably not Uno's related. Only do that with Bobby.
Yeah, no sweat. If you guys want to check out my new podcast, Uno's for Days. No, I'm just kidding. Uno's for Days.
About his days at Uno's.
I'm just kidding. It doesn't exist. Yeah, it's an hour long, and that's it.
And look, we're still figuring out how do you end an episode of a podcast, and that's cool. We're getting there.
I have a similar problem.
Oh, no, I'm about to get hit by a car! And you can stop it right there.
Thank you, Bobby. Thank you. That was perfect.